future, more or less, I start connecting to my speaker before. So I am agriculture and foreign guy by education. I am autodidact in IT. I became very short after the study. I'm not an old guy already. I became Apple distributor and later ESA distributor. So I was 10 years totally out of agroforestry. Made only more or less hardware and software development. But then I went back to my hometown. I'm coming from an agroforestry, so I was really educated in forestry or under the cow. So I have a very, very wide bandwidth in agroforestry. I became a civil engineer, as we call it, so it's a consultancy. And within the consultant office, we had an idea and the concept to start projects and to develop IT for agriculture, forestry. But there was also a special idea behind information management means we can be, for agriculture and forestry, more service-oriented, more ecologically oriented. And this is an information management question. So we also went into this direction. So what did we do during the last more than 15 years? We started with our own object-oriented GIS. It's a very powerful, fast tool. My colleague showed it today in the morning, and in the afternoon we show the development environment. Because the key idea behind was, we need a GIS on one side, but we need totally different user interfaces. We have many different users. And the tractor driver needs the same or similar, partly the same data than the expert on top. And we have professors, they have to build up an expert model behind. And we have people, they have to import data, geographical data, etc. So there are different user groups, but you can build it up with one system when you are able to develop applications. And this is the second word. We developed our own applications, roughly 15 during the last 15 years, for agriculture, forestry, wildlife, risk management. And we developed, and showed it today, a software development kit, where third parties, whoever, can make out of every database a GIS. He links our WinGIS into his application, and he drives from his application the GIS functionalities. We were an empty box when we started. We had no data. And I remember more than 10 years ago, I had a speech in Budapest, one of the first, and a European Union guy who would grow was inspired and started to inspire because I said, sorry, we have billions of values of data and we don't use that. This was the idea of Inspire. So started actually in Hungary. Today we have cooperation partners like Microsoft with Bing Images, but we can use Google, we can use Ordo Image from every cadastral department, vector data, etc. We became more and more system integrators during the years, but we stayed agriculture forest guys. And today I'm more focused on technology of excellence guys, they work with the technology. The key question is really the farmer, what do we have to do that the farmer gets benefit out of these technologies? Images is always the fundament. The fundament is image, wherever I get the images from. If it's Bing, it's fine, or Google, or in Africa we have satellite images. The better the image, the better, and I need the image only once. I need it to be changed for 10 years, because we need it as a blending tool, and the nature doesn't change. I don't want to control the farm. If you forgot what you planted, he opens the window, looks out, then he knows again what you planted. So image is the fundament. But then over the years, when we had all these GIS and the nice applications, I was working very much in how do I implement the system, system that it works throughout the country. So I know and we learned I cannot manage a single farm. It's too complex. It's too expensive for a single farmer because I need a lot of different inputs. And when you see the picture behind, you see on top the blue things are more or less what the Ministry of Agriculture has to do. I call it IT backbone. So an image can be used by everybody. Okay? Not only by the minister himself. He should disseminate it. He could have done it 10 years ago. He didn't want it. That's interesting thinking. Information is power. Sometimes people don't want to disseminate information to others. They want to keep the powers alone. But I think we have to restart and we have to think different. Weather station. A country could build up very cheap a weather station network with 5,000 weather stations, multiple 3,000, so it's 50 million euro for a complete country. And suddenly I have the information. We have also to learn we need the information and not the actual weather station. If I get access to the information, fine, it's everything what I want. So there is something that the ministry could do, or public-private organization could do, both together. The second circle in the middle, you see that's farm management. farmers need farm management tool, but I don't see every farmer. When we go later to our farm management tool, I need for one field one chick if it's intelligent setup. Why should I buy for 10 chicks a system? I could go to an advisor, or an advisor comes to me and I work with him an hour or 2 hours and everything is done. And then I get 20 pieces of paper, a paper, and the advisor suddenly gets information from a region because he's managing 200 farmers. But and it was recently had a big project in Turkey, there are 10,200 advisors. They're managing the country. But the summary of the advisors could have all the information. Now the grid is incredibly big. Everybody wants this information. Please be careful. I speak about a trust center. We have to be very careful with information. There is grid on private side, on public side, but I think the key question is when we want to have the farmer giving data away, we cannot split between ownership of ground and ownership of information. But it is a very scary limit. What is this? When I am a private entrepreneur and I have a social responsibility, both is within the farm. So we have very carefully to look what should we do with information in future, how to manage it. When you see on the picture behind on the right side is a blue line, this is the experts. So I don't know the Hungarian forestry or agriculture, but they are experts and the principles are the same. And I can ask them, please tell me your prices, your machines, your pesticides, your fertilizers, etc. And your seeds and the methods, and then we have built it up. So give me 5 experts and I build up an expert model for every country. This can be done, but only with the local experts. In the morning we had insurance question. Insurance is a part of the information. Why do you build up a separate system? It could be part of your overall system. And it could be fit also more from bottom. So we should think about it. We have top-down and bottom-up information stream. And one thing is clear. When in my forest a tree falls down, I know it first before the minister. This also the minister has to recognize. We have to inform also bottom-up information. Sometimes the farmer could have a powerful information and give it up to a higher level for information management. Because the minister must send the car out 300 kilometers, we look there, and when he comes home, he has already historic information. Because the information could have changed out at the gate. This we have to take into consideration. We need this bottom-up information, and the farmer could be a powerful input for many services. On the right side, on the bottom, you see the industry. When I know from many farmers when which farmer has to do what and where, I can pick up logistics. Deal with it. 40,000, 100,000 feet, 40,000 farmers, hundreds of machines, everything always online. It's possible. But sorry, it was possible 8 years ago. But the problem is not the technology, the problem is the stakeholder cooperation. So besides technology integration, we have a huge problem, stakeholder cooperation, this picture. How do we bring all these guys and ladies together that they cooperate in a system that is a win-win situation for everybody? We just in the past had single step stuff. We did not try to integrate the whole thing. And on the right side, this is labs, laboratory. When we think into circular thinking, and sorry, nature is a circular thinking, then I would like to have a lab for the feed, and other lab information for the manure coming down, and other information of the soil, and then suddenly, and maybe the human information again, because it's the rest of the circuitry, and then suddenly it becomes of interest. When you remember, not the young generation, the elder generation, when we went to a doctor 30 years ago, I hope. No, I not, but many I know some doctors. So they opened the mouth, they knocked here, knocked on the back, etc. Today you go to the doctor, one drop of blood. He says, in 8 days come again, then you say, okay, not okay. So I think we will have similar things in agroforestry, with the soil, with the feed, with the manure, to understand in detail what's ongoing. And this is possible, but this needs systems like we said. So that's an overall picture. This cannot be in one day done. This cannot be in 1 year done. This needs a couple of years to be developed. But at first we have to understand what is available in the country. That means I made now in the first country's consultancy, because we have to increase the know-how from us what is here, and from the user groups, from the different what is possible to be done. Then we can go a step forward. Which steps should we try to undertake? Today, the fundament is all the image and land parcel information system. We know all the fields, all the polygons for forest fields, alpine meadows, whatever. When we have this, we can hook up farm management system, forest management system, alpine meadow system, etc. And we can link also animal management system, etc. The summary of all the system guides me to the logistics. But I can fill the logistics from top down or from bottom up. Every farmer can give me the information, or I get the information from the minister when he has it. A quick side step to logistics in Germany, sugar beet is done in September, October, November, or November, December, October, November, December. So in May, the minister knows from Winbeco, from Elpis, where are sugar beet fields. We import all the data, 100,000 fields a year. We just import. Then we went to other side, to green areas or whatever, to my silage, etc. The minister doesn't have anything in March. So I need to fill this information from bottom. And when we started, one machine cooperative, this is our biggest partner in Germany, had to bring 1,000 farmers in front of the screen and say, please tell me where is the field for mice. I could have fixed it from a farm management system, automatically. So this we have to start thinking about, that we cannot everything get from top down. So when we have logistics, we communicate with every mobile device. That means precision farming is here. Precision farming means for me just behind the logistic contract to a mobile device, I send a map. Then the key question is, please, who will make these maps? So the farmer is not able to make this map. Okay, and to make a precise farming map, it's a complex thing. I need something from the past. What was the harvest in the last years? I need maybe a rapid eye image, I need a soil investigation from a lab, from different things, with NIRS technology, etc. And all together guides me to a new map. And the machine can do it, but not the machine alone. The farmer could do it with an old machine as well, because the map has the intelligence. More later. And then I could build, we did in Austria, for example, land consolidation. It was also top-down, it's a government job, but you can also work. You take the cataster, the ground loop, the soil investigation, mix everything together, make a better situation. For the farmers. To make this, you need the top system, the top line. You need all the knowledge of a country, you need maybe weather station network of a country, you need technology that you can do this. Otherwise, you cannot build this up for one farm or for five farmers. Our technology goes a little bit more than GIS. This is already an application developed with the software development kit that we show in the afternoon, my colleague will show. You see four elements working together. The geography and the database, this typical GIS, a time management system, because without time, I create only a historic map. Because in that moment, when the map is here, printed out, it's all together. But when the time comes bypass, I can change the map online, permanent. And a fourth element is the expert model. Expert model can be an agricultural one, forest one, environmental one, I can change. Sorry, as a small farmer in Austria, most of the farmers are agriculture and forest guys, and sometimes they have an alpine medal. But we have three departments in the ministry, the agriculture department, forest department, and my medal department. The city farmer should know everything, and he will need three specialists to help him. This is something that doesn't fit together. We have to see who will help in future the farmer to do with this. It seems not so easy thing. It's complex. You don't need three experts. This is the question. But he should do it alone. So this we have to think over. But expert models can help very much. Structured expertise. What did we enter in the expert model? Show the next slide. This is the agriculture expert model. We did it in Germany, in Austria. I couldn't start. Except the government said, oh, our data, my data is the what I know. This is not for you. Okay, that's then we collected in Germany, we got partners with KTBL. They have 2,500 machines, all the data. Fertilizer, pesticides, seeds, varieties, and 400 different crops were pre-described. What to do when, exactly? Step number one, take a tractor and plow. Behind the data for the cost of the machine, for the diesel use, for the carbon exhaust, etc. Step number 2, 3, 4. So at the end, we have a system where I can say, here I grow that. One polygon, one crop. Everything covered. So with one click, do I need someone to train a system when he has 10 feet for 10 clicks? He just wants to accept the model itself or to change the model if he's clever enough. But this becomes a powerful thing. So it means when I plan, I say, here I grow that. This is done. At first for a field is calculated, all the calculations for a field. Business calculations, carbon calculations, nutrient balance. I can send the data to the subsidy, I can send the data to a bank, to an insurance company, I create a map. I plan all my activities and send it also to the logistics provider. This is for a field, when I manage a farm for a farm, when I'm an advisor or we have tools to integrate things, I manage a region, and when we are 1,000 or 10,000 advisors, we can manage a country. Then the second growth. That means I can manage logistics for everybody. Suddenly the advisor could manage logistics for all the food companies, for all the systems, for all the guys they are transporting things and using machines around. So this becomes suddenly rather powerful. But when someone becomes powerful, the greed also is increasing. We have to be really careful who is running the system. It has to be done together, and we have to build up trust. But we can, this is what I'm talking, so it's not already. Everything what I'm talking is right. Here and there. Now we have to integrate things together. We have to understand, besides the stakeholder cooperation, and the first learning process for me was logistics is a stakeholder cooperation question. I remember years ago back, president of sugar factory, Südzucker, the biggest food factory in Europe, seven directors of seven factories, 25 machine cooperative directors, each managing 1,000 farmers, 100,000 fields, system suppliers, service suppliers. They have only the machines, partly farm or private companies, they were driving. And everybody said at the beginning, I want, I need, I must. And then I said, I was already on board, I said, no, we can. Only we together can do this. Nobody of you, also so big you are, you cannot do it alone. We need all each other together, integrated, and then cooperating, then we are able to run this. This is running year number 6 or 7 already. This is, I think, 40 cooperatives in the moment, 40,000 farmers linked, 100,000 fields, and all the machines have mobile devices. That means a machine cooperative guy in his office has a dispatch center. He sends a contract on a mobile device. This was 8 years ago, a ruggedized PC. Today, this will be the future. I have all my apps already here. It's no doubt this will get the problem. In the meantime, we had laptops. And when the driver got the contract, he just pressed the button, and I have known that he got the contract. And then also in the seconds was an update with a flat rate from outside. I've seen in my office all the machines moving around. I have a complete protocol where the machine went into the field, how many hectares it did, where did she supply the sugar beet harvest, how many tons, and then I got the information. And then the picture on the right side in the middle, the next contract was sent to a pickup machine, and the pickup machine invited trucks. So it's a precise system. One factory gets 70 trucks a day, and another one gets 100 trucks a day, plus minus one day. And I've seen, I remember in Thailand, sugar came, there were 300 trucks aligned. They were waiting for 3 days because it was not organized. So that means this was a benefit for farmer, for the transport organization, for the drivers, for the industry. Everybody at the end was happy with the whole system set up. But it was a struggle to build up a business model behind. Who pays what? Who is responsible for it? So a lot of benefits, I don't go into detail. When I have this system in place, I can send maps. Behind the contract, I send a map. Key question, just that the map has to be done, we have to set up organizations who is doing the maps. This is not a farm job, this is too complex for the average farmer, not for a big farmer. He has 3 doctors, fine, everything okay, but the smallholder cannot manage it. That means not the tractor is in the detailing. Sorry, I don't need a new tractor which every guy with all this fancy thing. I take an old tire and tell the farmer when he crosses the GPS point now switch to 80 kilograms and then go back to 20 kilograms. It means precision farming can work tomorrow for every farm. I just need a phone and a clever man, not a new technology. So this we have to think about. Important for me, the whole lab, we have to overthink the situation on the lab. We have MIRS technology coming. This works wonderful. We need lots of information, better data, that we can make better information out of this data. And labs will be a big part of it. We have a new, fantastic colleague, some of you might know him, who is with us in this lab questions. Weather stations, trust center, just as a slogan, MIRS technology with labs, consultancy. For me, it was always a learning process. It's not technology alone. It's always technology and consulting, both together. We need both things together to come in that direction. For me, personally important, the farmer must become more and more part of environmental caretaking and risk management. Because less humus means more water going down. It means when you increase humus, then you buffer more water, less water is released. In the alpine meadows, we work quick. When we cut the forest, the avalanche will come down next spring. So the learning process is very quick and very high, and very, because the nature answer is very rough. This could be the result of wrong managed agriculture or forestry. This is really pictures. So go into regions where you have no humus and suddenly we have more floods. It might be the weather's changing, but it might be that not so much humus is buffering so much water anymore. We have 50% less humus than 50 or 60 years ago. And I remember my grandfather told me 40 years ago, he said, guys, when you have no animals and no biomass into the fields anymore, you will run out of humus. This was a logical question, nothing new to that. But we could provide lots of services, but we have to define this is local services, regional and international services, and this can be managed by farmers. But someone has to know, what do we need? Do we need more grain or more water? As a farmer, I can influence the water situation. I can influence only the grain situation. Should I make only grain and destroy the water, or should I make only water and destroy the grain, or should I optimize the whole system? I think that is the way, and this is what information management does. We have to deal with information and with data to get this. The problem is big, 380 billion damage a year. Not my number, Swiss Re. 380 billion divided by 1.5 billion agricultural fields is $250 a hectare. So this is much. When you know how much is the earning on one hectare, you know damage $250 per every hectare per year compared is very, very high. We have to reduce and as far as we can. This lady become in business a Nobel Prize 3-4 years ago, she died. But she had a fantastic thing. She investigated why people in Brazil, in Congo, etc., native tribes there, they manage their nature very sustainably. And we, in that moment, when I promoted him, when we went into schools, we did not manage sustainably. And she investigated on the blue lines, I don't know if you did that, what is needed and what, why didn't they do that? They have some rules. And then she found out these rules, she found also in Switzerland, in a cooperative. I'm also chief of a cooperative since 25 years in the Alpine Mountains. The bottom right picture, you see in the Alps, we are senior farmers on the ground and we are cooperative farmers on the top. Where it becomes tough, we have to cooperate more. It's a simple rule, When it becomes critical, we have to cooperate. You cannot manage it all on top of the mountain because when you fall down 100 years ago, they didn't find you anymore and you were gone. So only one rule, only two or three people together went up there. So it's cooperation. And this cooperative work together. These rules are here today. We must not define them. Cooperatives, so that means for some environmental and risk management questions, I cannot manage them alone. But with 100 neighbors, I can manage them. But someone has to guide the farmers. What should be done where? So a lot of possibilities for information management. In Austria, we did with the Catastrophe Department, in Lower Austria, linked to with our GIS, linked to the Catastrophe, to the ground book, the made soil investigation, made more or less the land consolidation. It's a land consolidation tool, but also based on regions and applications. You see, I don't go into detail, but we can supply later on this PowerPoint. There's a lot of partners and a lot of stakeholders. They all could benefit. But we have to sit together on one table to think about how should we do it together. Not to compete, we have to set it up together. Everybody could have a benefit, but it needs detailed rules who is owning which data, who is allowed to do what with which data set, with which information. And these are the benefits when you split it from the technology. So you have the GIS benefits, the farm management benefits, logistic benefits, precision farming benefits. My problem as a civil engineer, 10 years ago, I couldn't think about that. Simply, the GIS didn't tell me a benefit. It was a map, nice and straight, before we had it on the wall. But now I can suddenly start to calculate these benefits. And then it becomes of interest, because the benefits, believe me, are incredible high. But only if you are able to make it together, but it is economic benefit, plus ecological benefit, plus we change the value of the land. When I manage a land correct, the value will increase. When I manage it wrong, and I have bare land at the end, because the land is something wrong, I will have destroyed my land and also destroyed the value. And when you take these three values, when you take the 3-4% agriculture, let's take 4% ecology, economy, plus 4% ecology, they are also here, plus 6% value of the land. Sorry, I calculated in Austria, we had 6-7%, in the US they had 7-8%. In the last 50 years, increase of price. You will have it under maybe more. At the beginning, the stick is higher. But then you know what is value behind it. It pays off to manage this better. So we call it safer production, sustainable agriculture, forest environment, and risk management. We have a lot of projects for the future. just a lot of ideas, focusing on one side of technology, but more and more on the question, how to manage this thing, how stakeholders, how people have to cooperate to be able to do this, and how bring the farmer in a new position, because 150 years ago, every farmer produced energy besides food, because it was only wood as energy, so the farmer was energy producer. We lost totally, we have now energy with carbon exhaust and all the problems around, and the farmers also, because very few people manage the environment. And we have to bring the agriculture, this is the philosophy behind. Technology can help that the farmer can provide better food, more energy, sustainable energy, and as well services that come from the nature. And the nature, so we live from the nature. We can run high tech, everything fine. But at the end, a big part of the globe is still living from the nature. And this we have only one world. We cannot avoid that. It's bigger or smaller. So that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the highly interesting presentation. And thank you for your vision. Your presented here, so the floor is open for questions, comments, questions. Then I raise the first question.
Either everything or nothing else.
Yeah. No. I think the presentation was about getting more from less and contributing to sustainable agriculture. So my question is that what should be done to get involved all the stakeholders, partners from both sides, private and public, in the future. Because we need more stakeholders.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the most, thank you very much. This is the most important and most critical question. When I say we have to cooperate, and what I learned, at first we have to increase the stakeholders' level to be able to communicate together. That means, from our side, I told just before I made an intensive, and I happy that we could do this in Turkey for the ministry, high-end people, a big study, not so much paper outcoming, but summarized to understand. So I understand now what they are able to do, what they can do, what they cannot do, what are the stakeholders in the field, and they understand what the technology could do. And suddenly we have reached one level where we can communicate with each other. Because otherwise we tell something they don't understand, they tell us something we don't understand. It doesn't help. We have to have this level. So the first thing is the feasibility, and then on this we can build a pilot project where we make failures, and from this we can go further. But first thing is communicate with each other.
So you mentioned that more cooperation, you need a trust for more cooperation.
Absolutely.
If there is no trust in a member state, there is no cooperation, like in Hungary. So, if you have a black market share of 30% in agriculture, 60-70% in fruit and the vegetable sector, then it's very hard, you know, to tell farmers you need to cooperate with each other, because it's better to share the 27% value added tax between the seller and the buyer than cooperate. And our government, the problem is even the data of governments are not reliable, because our government will not come to Brussels telling, you know, the Commission that we do not respect environmental standards in agriculture and we should be punished. We do not have a clear picture of our environmental status in agriculture. So reliability from the sides of, let's say, farmers or cooperatives and governments, what kind of major problems you see EU-wide?
I would say it's worldwide, it's a global problem, and we know that everybody is an egoistic guy inside this, if it is a public organization, a private organization, etc. But this, we have to fulfill, we cannot manage this without this cooperation. That means this is a learning process that together, one and one is more than two. And I cannot reach this more than two if I'm sitting alone. And we can, for the government, for the whole population. I think I had a very interesting talk a couple of days ago, the former CEO of Rewe. Rewe is where Miller belongs to, etc.